with the Tiferes and Tigers and Kashrus in the last couple of weeks. We spoke more a little bit in terms of introduction to Kashrus, some of the basic principles that govern all of the laws of Kashrus. Now we can get into a little more specifics, and the first of these two that we're going to deal with is the issue of Bas B'Cholov. That's the most common application of things that happen in our kitchen. You know, the Gemaras and the Shulchan Aruch speak a lot about a little bit of Nevela falls into your pot of food, a little bit of Chaza falls into your pot of food. Hopefully that's not taking place in our kitchen. All the mix-ups, all the problems, all the confusion in our kitchen and Kashrus has always been in the realm of Bas B'Cholov. So we speak a little bit, a little introduction to what exactly Bas B'Cholov is, what that Bas B'Cholov isn't, in the Torah, in the Rabbanan, and then hopefully branch out to some very real applications of this Kuzmana Zeh. So in terms of understanding Bas B'Cholov, there are two terms that we must define. One is this week's year, hopefully one is the next week's year. The first term is Basar, and the second term is Cholov. So today's share is going to be Hagdara's Basar. Just to define properly what exactly that term means, what exactly Basar means for the purpose of Basar Cholov. So the first term I'm going to come up in the Mishnah Masechet Chulin, Kufi Gimel and Aleph, quotes the following discussion. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chayev Oaf Eina Min HaTorah, Shenemel Osevashim Viva Cholov Imo Gimel Ba'omim, Prat Lechayev Oaf Beheim HaTzmeya. Rabbi Akiva tells us that neither Pesach Chai and nor Pesach Oaf, Pesach Chai meaning a wild animal, Pesach Oaf meaning a bird, poultry, neither of these types of what we call meat are really considered to be basar on a level of deraita. Namely, the issue of deraita of bishul bas b'cholov, of cooking bas b'cholov, eating bas b'cholov, benefiting from bas b'cholov, all the different issues of bas b'cholov, in that Torah do not apply either to birds or to wild animals. They only apply to domesticated animals. They only apply to goats, as the pus of the chumash, or sheep, or cow's meat, but anything which is not the hema of a gedia, keves, or a shor, para, is not considered to be bas b'cholov d'araisa. I didn't say that with Moshe, it just said Eidem in the Torah. But any case of non-besad hema is not going to be a problem. But like, meat on a level of d'araisa. How did Rabbi Akiva know this? Because it says in the chumash three times, Osevashel gedi b'cholov imo. So the word gedi, a goat, which is the model of bas b'chol d'araisa, the word gedi is coming to exclude three different things. It says the word gedi three times. One is coming to exclude the chayos, one is coming to exclude ofos, one is coming to exclude behemoth tmeya, chazan meat, etc., but also not be subject to bas b'chol. So the Yosef Gluli Omer, the Yosef Gluli seems to come to the same conclusion as Rabbi Akiva, albeit from a different source. Nema lo sochu kol aveilo, nema lo sevash gedi b'chol avimo. It says in the Chumash, two Isurim, one right next to another. One is the prohibition of eating the veil. The veil is meat that wasn't shechted properly. And then the very next breath, it says, don't cook meat and milk together. Don't eat meat and milk together. So I would have said, Esha Asta Bishum Neveila Asta Levash Mecholov. I would think that the dinim of Asta Mecholov apply to anything that's potentially in the veil. It's going to be all kind of meat. Oaf Sha Asta Bishum Neveila, just as oaf is subject to the dinim of the veil, you have to shecht birds. So I would think that oaf, which is subject to the dinim of Nevel, is subject to the dinim of Bas B'cholov. Yochay also of Asher B'cholov. Amadlom of B'cholov, imo yata oaf she'en B'cholov aim. Since the Torah describes Bas B'cholov as cooking meat in its mother's milk, even though we know that doesn't apply literally, Toshua Fek explains to us, doesn't apply literally only to its mother's milk, but it has to be a species that has a supply of milk. Only mammals give off milk. The birds don't give off milk. So therefore, birds are excluded from the parashah of B'chol and Levav D'araisa. So both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Gluli came to the same conclusion, that chicken, turkey, etc., those things are not B'chol and D'araisa. Any shahs we're going to have, especially the milk in terms of birds, is all going to be in the D'rabbanan. D'araisa, it's not, either for Rabbi Akiva's source, because the word Yedi excludes it, or Rabbi Yosef Gluli's source, that the phrase Chol and Imo excludes it. So we're going to ask the question in the second of the Ma'amakomos, Rabbi Yosef Gluli, Omer Nevel Osochu, Ma'ikabin Rabbi Yosef Gluli, Rabbi Akiva. At the end of the day, they're saying the same thing. Mind enough, you mean, what's the difference when they're learning out from one pasuk or another pasuk? They both agree that both b'chol d'araisa doesn't apply to ofos. What's the difference? The Gemara suggests that maybe one afternoon is Ikebin Ayuchai. What would the din be in terms of wild animals, deer, venison? Would that be both b'chol d'araisa or not? Rabbi Yosef Gluli, Sabachai, d'araisa, according to Rabbi Yosef Gluli, Chai would be deraita, because Chai provides milk, it's a mammal, and then there would be Bas B'chol deraita. Rabbi Akiva saw the Chai deraita, Rabbi Akiva had a drush in Kedi. He comes to exclude, also he comes to exclude Chai. According to Rabbi Akiva, Besar Chai, B'chol, would only be mit deraita. That's the first answer. Ibai Seben, not to know the first, most of us are not eating deer meat with milk. Ibai Seben, here's a real maskebin ladina. Oh, Ikebe Dayo.
It would be a nafkamina lahaloch in terms of oathos. In what sense? Rabbi Akiva saw a chai of oath einon min haTorah. Amid the rabbanon asiri, the lashon of Rabbi Akiva was the chai of oath anabi araita. The implication is the anabi araita, but they are amid the rabbanon. There is a prohibition of the rabbanon of the oath b'chalav. Rabbi Yosef Gulu saw Rabbi Yosef Gulu didn't say that it's also amid the rabbanon. Oath asulu amid the rabbanon amilo asir. It's even permissible with the rabbanon. According to the Yosef Gulu, it's mutar lechatchila. To take a slice, take a piece of chicken, take a piece of cheese, put it together, cook it together, eat it together. Everything's mutter according to Beyonce Guru, not only in the Torah, but it's even mutter with the Rabbanon. This is quite a startling statement. Beyonce Guru, Tana would hold that the dinner of Bas B'chola, even with the Rabbanon, don't apply to chicken. Because most of you are right, that was in fact the Beyonce Guru Shita, and we have a source to support that. Tani Dan Yachin, the writer that tells us that in fact that is our Beyonce Guru Paskin. In Kolmosh Rabbi Eliezer, I have cursed Eitzim Lassus to Chav and Lassus to Barzel. In Kolmosh Rabbi Yosef, I open the Shar of the Cholov. The Brisa teaches us, tells us stories about two places which follow their particular Rabbanim in Shitas and in opinions that have long been rejected by Halacha. We no longer follow either one of those two opinions, but in those days, in the days of the Tanoim, these issues were not yet resolved. So one of the stories was, nothing to do with that topic, but the first story was in the place of Rabbi Eliezer. They passed it like their Rebbe, like the Rav Rabbi Eliezer, who held that when you have a bris on Shabbos, not only are you allowed to do the actual bris on Shabbos, but you are allowed to do all preparatory, all preparation for the bris as well. For example, let's say you don't have a knife. You realize Shabbos morning, you don't have a knife. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no problem, make a knife. I can make a knife. You have to melt metal. You have to make a fire. You don't have any firewood. No problem, says Rabbi Eliezer. Cut down trees. Make yourself a fire, melt the metal, do the malach of kaitzim, and the malach of machaneh patish, and the malach of havara, and dish. Do a million malach of everything mutter in order for the end result, getting a knife to do the bris milah Shabbos. That's really as a shita. And Rabbi Akiva disagreed and said, if you would do that, you're a machal Shabbos deraisa. According to Rabbi Akiva, the only thing you're allowed to do is the actual bris itself. Doing the milah itself is tata deraisa. That's the Torah permits. All preparatory stages. Everything else is also in the Torah. So it's Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Eliezer. We have warm paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Nobody today would ever follow the view of Rabbi Eliezer. If you did, we would consider you to be a full-fledged Machal Shabbos Deraita. But in the days of Rabbi Eliezer, the issue was not yet resolved. In the town of Rabbi Eliezer, they followed his opinion. And the Bryce said, that's okay. The Bryce said, right, that's perfectly all right. There's nothing wrong with what they did. And similarly, the Mekabash Rabbi Eliezer, we like, open the side of the Cholot. In the town of Rabbi Yosef, really, they used to eat chicken and milk together, and there was nothing wrong with what they did, but they followed the view of Rabbi Yosef, really. If somebody would do that today, we would say you're in violation of the Nisan Gomer, you're violating the Yisrael Darabon, the Pesach of the Cholof. But in the days of Rabbi Yosef, really, it was not yet resolved, it was not yet passed in that way, and therefore his Talmidim were free to do as the Rabbi had passed it. So Moshe Feinstein, in his Adidomet, Igros Moshe, quotes this Gemara, says, you see from his Gemara, that even though in the later generations, it was already Nimrod Gomer was already decided against Rabbi Eliezer. It was already decided against Rabbi Yosef Gluli. The job of Rabbi Eliezer, the job of Rabbi Yosef Gluli, was to decide what they thought the correct halacha was. The kozman that it wasn't in, what we call under the minyan, it wasn't an official form of vote rejecting those shittas were viable shittas, there was nothing wrong with following them. Once the shita became rejected by halacha, then it can no longer be resurrected anymore. That's what Rav Moshe writes, that he's with great trepidation, he's writing a statement with Moshe. He's about to pass through Shilas most of all Yisrael. Maybe he's going to pass through something incorrectly. Did you pass him wrong? So Rav Moshe says, that's not the job of the placing. The job of the placing is to decide what he thinks Allah is, Mephira Oth Ein of Lobo Shemayim He. If according to him, it appears this is what the correct Pesach Allah is, so Rav Moshe will give him Pesach, and Rav Moshe will reward those who follow the Pesach. If it turns out, in 100 years from now, they vote against him, oh God, 100 years from now, we'll deal with 100 years from now. Right now, Ela Dain and Ramashi in a row. And I pass him what I think is correct. And Ramashi goes on to say, that's assuming that he's someone who's royal with Kastapaskin, and then he goes and tells you what credentials are necessary to pass Kishalot. But again, not for right now. But I'll call upon him, you see from this Gemara that in the days of Rabbi Yosef Gluli, they really held that it was Mutter, and his place was Mutter Chachil, Yisrael of Pachalot. We obviously do not pass this way, nobody ever passed this way, but it sounds like we do Paskin, like the other Tanoim, at least it's also only the Rabbanah. Is there anybody who disagrees? Is there anybody who holds that the Shar Oaks is Mamish Asim in HaTorah? Well, the third of the Mamakamos, the Gemara presents that possibility. that maybe neither Rabbi Yosef nor Rabbi Akiva is correct. Maybe the real halacha is that chicken and milk is mamash deraita. So comes the mission on the third day of Ramadan, which is Chul and Kol Abosa also the Vashul B'cholav Chutzu B'sad Dagim B'chagovit. The mission starts out by saying all meat is considered to be also to cook together with milk. The only exception is B'sad Dagim. Fish is permissible with milk, and Chagovit, locusts, would be permitted to have it together with milk. And then the mission continues, but also the halos in Magdina L'Shulchan. Not only are you prohibited to eat all these different kinds of meat together with milk, you're not even allowed to have it on the same table. When you're eating your meat, you're not allowed to have cheese on the table. When you're eating your pizza, you can't have meat on the table. This is the gezeirah of lest you come to eat both the chol together. And this applies to kol bosa, all kind of bosa. The Gemara comments on the third line of the Rambam Kama, but the fact that the Mishnah lumps it all together, and the Mishnah says kol bosa, all meat is also ha'op osa mideraisa. It sounds like the Mishnah is equating all kinds of meat, whether it's meat from birds, meat from animals, all meat is also in the Torah. Kimanda lo Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah sounds like it doesn't follow Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, Amachayv of Enam in the Torah. Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that the Star Oph is not Midaraita, so it sounds like we have a Star Mishnah that disagrees. So Gemara works it out and says, no, it's not really true. You can read the Mishnah in a different way. Maybe the Mishnah is supporting Rabbi Akiva. Not clear. So the Gemara did throw out the possibility that maybe there are Tanaim out there who disagree, not only with Rabbi Yosef, really, they disagree with Rabbi Akiva as well. So basically we have, when all the dust settles in these three Makoros, it turns out there are three different opinions in the Tanaim. What is the status of the Star Oak Macholot? What is the status of chicken and milk, turkey and milk? What is the din? So according to one extreme, Rabbi Yosef, really, it's Mutal Chetchila. You can do whatever you want, chicken and milk, everything's Mutal. That's one extreme. You have the other extreme of the Tanakhama process, perhaps the Shita Zachachom, and the other Tanoim, hold that the Star Oph is Mamish Diarai, so it's the same as regular flesh from an animal. And then you have the middle ground, the view of Rabbi Akiva, that Minatora is not Bosa, but Midirabad it is Bosa. How do we pass in Allah? The basic question, the ABCs of Bosa Mechalot, do we pass in Shita Mufa Diarai, do we pass in Midirabad, do we pass in Mufa, which one do we pass in? So the Rambam has a whole discussion about this Shaila in the context of a much greater question. The Rambam is discussing the general relationship between the Raisas and the Rabbanim. The Rambam in the fourth of the Rambam comes, it's a critical Rambam, not just in terms of the technicality of the sugya, but it's critical in terms of understanding Pesach Halacha. The Rambam, in Hukas Mamrim for Beis Lachatet, makes the following observation. Holy Yesh LeBeis Din Ligzor V'Lesser Dav Ramutah. Since the Beis Din, Agogel, has the authority to make Gezeira, to prohibit things that were otherwise permissible from the Torah, and they can make any sidra bun that lasts forever and ever. So they can make mukta, and they can make bishalakum, they can whatever they want, they can make isum dirabun if they feel that's necessary. So then the Ram continues on a little bit, let's get to the end of that line. Maudesh is irritable. What does this mean when the Torah says don't add on to the mitzvahs, but the Chachamim do add on to the mitzvahs? The Chachamim add on all the time, the Chachamim make isum dirabun and mukta, etc. The Torah never said Mukta Zosta, the Chum said it's Zosta. Isn't that a violation of Baptosis? You're adding on to the Mitzvah of the Torah. That's the way the Rambam formulates the question. So the Rambam continues. So, Shalom Lahosu from Tosu. The end of the first line. Ma'al Zesh is here to Torah, Lahosu from Tosu, Lahosu from Tosu, Lahosu. What that means is as follows. Shalom Lahosu from Tosu, Torah, for all the Gromans, the Kvod of the Olam, the Dovashim, the Torah, Vain, the Tosu, Shabbat, the Tosu, Shabbat. What that means is as follows, says the Rambam. Chachamim do have the authority to make gezeiros, but they have no right to present the gezeiros as din in the Torah. What does that mean, perhaps? With Kesa, says the Rambam. The Rambam could have picked any gezeira under the sun, he picked as for Kesa. By Kosu the Torah, Lo Tzavashim Vibu Chalavim. It says in the Chumash, you're not allowed to cook the goat together with its mother's milk. If you just read the Pasuk of Shuto, it would be a karoy, be a stoop, so you didn't believe the Toshim up there, you would walk away from the parasha by saying, what the Torah prohibits is to take a goat and to put it into its mother's milk and cook it in a pot. That's all the Torah says is also. It says the Rambam, that is very far from the truth. The Pia Shmuel Lomdu, whenever the Rambam uses the phrase the Pia Shmuel Lomdu, that always means we have a tradition going back all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. From the Pia Shmuel Lomdu, we have learned from tradition, Shezeh HaKosuf, Osar Levasha V'lecho Bosu B'chola. So first of all, even though the Torah only says explicitly not to cook, the Tereshim Afeh explains to us the same is true for eating. So even though if you look at the Chumash itself, never ever says don't eat bos b'cholot, but the Tosha Rafet says that's exactly what it means. And similarly, the Rambam continues, Bein b'sar behema, Bein b'sar chaya, Aval b'sar, oh, mutter b'cholot b'na Torah. Even though the Torah only speaks about goats, you love that for goats, it means sheep also, and it means cows also, all of the above would be also b'na Torah. However, b'sar, oh, happens not to be also b'na Torah. So now the Rambam says, we have all the information that Basar, Behemah is also b'na Torah, b'sar, oh, is b'na Rabbanan, in the other days, in the Yasir of Sechai, the Chavre, the Gerea, in the Yasir of Sara'ov, the Yomish of Bechlal HaGedi, who also the Torah, the Motif. There's the Rambam, Tiba Basin will get up and say, if the Torah says, don't eat chicken and milk together, that will be a violation of Acharetz. You have to present the Torah in its truth. Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. You can't change Hashem's word. That's a violation of Acharetz. So we have to tell people as follows. Min HaTorah, the Isser is only beside the Hema, only a sheep, goat, cow. But the Rabbanon, there's an Isser of Besar Ha'ov. We, as the Rabbanon, added it on as a Gezer, as a decree to protect the Dinder Aisa of B'chol, that's perfectly okay. But to misrepresent Allah and to present it as being a Dinder Aisa, that's a problem. Aval Im Amar Besar Ha'ov, Mutter Min HaTorah, what we should say is that Besar Ha'ov is Mutter Min HaTorah. The Anu Nesos of an Odeel Am Shu Gezera, that people shouldn't come to make a mistake and think that Besar Behemah is Mutter. So that's great, says the Rambam. That's perfectly acceptable. That's what the Chum have the authority to do. But the Rambam has just redefined for us the prohibition of Al-Taytah. Prohibition must also include this idea that when Chazal make the Gezeirah, they have to be careful how they formulate the Gezeirah. If they formulate the Gezeirah properly as Gezeirah, that's okay. If they misrepresent them as Dinim Deraisa, that's the problem of Al-Taytah. The Rafarshim points out that the Rambam got this from the very first Gezeirah that was made in history, way, way, way before Bas B'cholot came on the scene. There was a Gezeirah made by Adam HaRishon. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas. Adam HaRishon and Chava, they decided it's a good idea not to touch the Eitz HaDaas either. That's a pretty smart Gezeirah. If you don't touch it, you won't come to eat it. But what happened? When the Nachash comes to them and says, that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't touch the Eitz HaDaas, what did they respond? They said, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, no, sweet little ball. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat it and don't touch. That wasn't true. It was not correct. The only thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu said is not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. They added on as a gezeirah not to touch, and they misrepresented it by Hashem. When you misrepresent it by Hashem, then you're asking for trouble. That's what the Nachash, he came in and he said, well, Kadosh Baruch Hu told you not to touch. Yeah, you see it touching, nothing's happening to you. Well, you see, you can touch it, you can eat it also. So if Adam Chava would have said, no, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat, and we're eating one on our own, not to touch, that's perfectly okay. That would have been an authentic gezeirah. That would have been a valid gezeirah. But they misrepresented it by Hashem. They forged, in effect, the words of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the problem. The Rambam says that halacha applies to all deirahs. And the example, for example, that the Rambam gave was the example of Besar Ha'ov B'cholot. So according to the Rambam, there is no question that we paskin as Rabbi Akiva, Besar Ha'ov B'cholot is only the Rabbanan. That is the example that the Rambam shows to highlight this halacha. Nevertheless, not everybody agrees to the Rambam. Some Rishonim who maintain that the Besar Ha'ov is in fact bas b'cholot even with the Araita. So you're probably wondering, what's the big deal? The Araita, the Rambam, at the end of the day, we're not going to do that anymore. We're throwing, we're keeping Shulchan Aruch. Who cares? The Araita is the Rabbanan. And I'll tell you, you'll see a big Nafkalim Lazina, whether something is the Araita or the Rabbanan. If they look at the fifth of the Rambam come up, the Tosfos is commenting on a statement of the Gemara. The Gemara says that not only is one not allowed to cook meat and milk together, but the Rabbanan, the Chachamim prohibited any eating of meat and milk together, and they even prohibited, even if you're not literally eating it together, if you're eating meat first, and then you want to subsequently eat milk, drink milk, or eat cheese, that's also a problem. So the Gemara calls, Achol Basal Lo Yachol Gvina. Hopefully we'll talk about that in future weeks, why exactly Chazal made that Gezeira. Either we're afraid of meat stuff in the teeth, or afraid of taste of the meat in the mouth, whatever the reason for. But we, of course, what we call a person the inflation. Where did that come from? It came from this Gemara set of Kulin. Achol Basal Yachol Gvina. The person ate meat, he has to wait X amount of time, whatever it is, before he's permitted to eat cheese, to eat melachik. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara throws out the possibility that maybe that din of waiting doesn't apply to a chicken. It only applies to meat, not to chicken. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that that is in fact the case, that there's no need to wait at all. You had a piece of chicken, first day chicken for dinner, you can have ice cream for dessert, no big deal. long as you don't eat it mamish together, you don't have to wait. But Tosfos writes on the spot in the Tosfos and Makabos, the olam nahagu shelo lechol gvina achar vasa klal nafilu achar os. So Tosfos, nobody does this. Every kid knows the fleshik that's eating chicken also. I bet the Gemara doesn't seem to say that. But Tosfos explains. We have forgot the tongue of Igra, even though we have a Braisa taught to us by Igra, that's the name of the Braisa, the name of the tongue of the Braisa, who taught us that Ofu Gvina Nechol Bapikurin, you're letting cheese and chicken all together, it doesn't matter, you don't have to wait at all. The Mashma Ofchila, Dilma Mishu Desaba Besarab Bechol Vav Deraisa. Maybe the reason why the Gemara taught such a Braisa that's so lenient that you don't have to wait, that Tana was assuming that the Akiva Besar Ofadonim is the Rabbanon. The Lokaimelon Hochi says, Taisus, the reason why nobody today would ever dream of eating milk immediately after chicken is maybe we don't pass like that right. So why? Because we pass in the Tosfos that the Sar opens their eyes. So since we pass in the Sar opens their eyes, the Neila, we have to equate Oph with the Hema. But this Tosfos is a startling Tosfos, many, many different levels. First of all, Tosfos really says what the Rambam said was about Tosfos. The Rambam said that if you tell somebody that the Sar opens their eyes, and that's terrible, that's an Aveira. Taisa said that, but we hold Halacha. We pass like that Tana. That Besar Ofa is Deraisa. And then the second Chiddush of Taisa is because we pass like Besar Ofa is Deraisa, therefore you have to wait between chicken and milk. The Halacha we don't accept this Taisa. We pass in the Halacha like the Rambam. Most of Rishon pass like the Rambam. That Besar Ofa is in fact only Midrabanan. That is the reality. Besar Ofa is only Midrabanan. What should follow logically is therefore we shouldn't have to wait after chicken. So we have to wait for a few weeks till we get to that figure. To figure out the other reason in the Rishon and why we in fact do wait after chicken, even though the Gemara seems to say that you don't have to. So at Kofanim, we have a conceptual machlokes, a somewhat academic machlokes, Tahatanoim. What exactly is the status of the Sar Of? According to the Yossi Groovy, it's Mutal Lachatchila, not even Derabanan. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Anissa Derabanan. According to others, it's Anissa Derait. And now we have a breakdown of the Rishonim as to how we passed it. Most of the Rishonim side with the Rambam, that's how we accept the Halacha, that the Sar Of is in fact only the Derabanan. When we speak about Basar, in terms of defining Basar B'chalav, to remember one of the things that we got mentioned very quickly by Rabbi Akiva is the word Gidi three times. And the word Gidi three times teaches us that Basar Ofa is not Deraita, Basar Chaya is not Deraita, and Basar Chazi, Basar Behema Tanei is not Deraita either. If you cook Chazi together with milk, I didn't say you could eat it because it's Chazi, but the Isser Basar B'chalav doesn't apply. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing other with cooking Chazi together with milk. All of the Basar B'chalav doesn't apply to Chaz. Now the question becomes, most of us are not going to have that shiloh of cooking Chaz together with milk. But what if it's not quite Chaz? What if it's not a pig? It's not a species that's trained? What if it's a kosher species of animal, but it just happened not to have been shechted? So Lamaisa is trained. On the other hand, it's not Chaz. What does Allah say about that? Is that considered to be subject to the rules of Basar B'chalav or not? So this now becomes a very, very real shiloh Lamaisa for us in the following scenario. There were three things you're not allowed to do with Basar B'chalav. You're not allowed to eat Basar B'chalav, you're not allowed to cook Basar B'chalav, and you're not allowed to derive benefit. All three are also in the Torah. But what I want to know is, if I have non-kosher meat, non-kosher in the sense of it's a kosher species, it's cow feet, steak, but it wasn't from a shechted animal, does that mixture of non-shechted cow meat cooked together with milk, does that create a problem with Basar B'chalav or not? Obviously, I'm not going to be eating it because it's not kosher meat. But I want to know, can I derive benefit from it? Because the time of Vela is Mutta Bahano. There's nothing wrong with getting benefit, deriving benefit from the time of Vela. Mita wasn't shechted. But if it's called Basar B'chalav, then it would be a problem. If I wonder, who cares? I have to be the money's ever going to happen. I mean, all the time, anyone who owns a dog or a cat is well aware of the Shiloh, should be well aware of the Shiloh. Most of the dog food, many of the dog foods on the market are actually made of Basar B'chalav. They're meat, steak, the star beef, whatever it is. It's cooked together with cheese, cooked together with milk. Question is, can I go ahead and buy this bag of dog food to feed it to my dog? In fact, it is a violation of the rights of the men that we go to the cholah. For the cholah, it depends on our shiloh. If you hold that once it's not kosher meat, so even though it came from a kosher species animal, once it's nivisan avela, that's ois possible cholah. There's no possible cholah on that. Then I would be home free, then it would be okay. If the answer to the question is no, that's the kosher species, therefore, it is subject to Basar B'chalav, even though nobody actually eats this meat, but not only can I not eat it, I'm not permitted to derive benefit from it as well. And there are other applications of the Shiloh. Let's say a person wants to derive benefit from buying the steak from a cheeseburger.
there anything wrong with that? The rabbi benefits from a cheeseburger. He's going to draw benefits from a cheeseburger. The person wants to work in McDonald's. They're still putting aside my time issues. Wants to work in McDonald's. But if he wants to own part of the McDonald's, maybe a different complicated shadow. What if a person got a gift certificate to some McDonald's and he wants to give it to a Goyish, a co-worker or something? These are potential being nene from both the Mechalot. Are these kinds of mixtures considered to be both Mechalot? On the one hand, the kosher species of meat. On the other hand, the mice of McDonald's are not getting shechted meat. So what's the deal? So the sugi begins, starts with the sixth of the Rambam Kama, the comment of the Rambam, in the Hilchos of Mechalot, the Surah, the Ketzel, the Rambam is paraphrasing the Gemara. The Rambam writes, אבל מבשל בשר מייסה או חילב וחיות בהם בחולף. He's a little past there. If a person either takes the sign of Ela, or he takes chaylev, the forbidden fat, from a kosher, properly shechted animal, and he cooks those kinds of things together with cholov. So comes around and says, loka al bishulad. The person is chay of malchus for bishul bachu b'cholov. These things are subject to bachu b'cholov. But the eino loka al achilah to bishul bachu b'cholov. But he's not chay of malchus for eating the bachu b'cholov. So what's John the Rambam? How can we split between the bishul and the achilah? The Rambam explains, She'ain is the boss of the chol of chaol is the nevel or all is the chaylev. Says the Rambam, because we have a principle in Allah called Ain is the chaol is the. Once something is offered for reason X, and then reason Y can no longer take effect. So over here, I had a piece of the sign of nevel, not shechted meat, and the Torah already says it's the davishal is the chesishal is the. Now I eat it. Now I go ahead and I cook it with milk. So I want the second is, we want the second is the boss of the chol to take effect. How can the Isra Bas B'chol take effect in something that's already previously altered? Once Isra X is already Chal, namely the sign of Eilat took effect, there's no way in the world the second Isra can be Chal. That's what's called A Isra Chal Al Isra. It comes around and says, these are the Achila, but it's concerning Achila, the Achila, it was already also the Achila at the time of Eilat, but the Isra Bas B'chol can't take effect. These are the initial, there's no way to cook the sign of Eilat, a lot of cooked and kosher meat. Not a lot of boss of the chol, but a lot of cooked non-kosher meat. It comes to himself and says, concerning the Isra official, there's no principle there is a chol Isra. It was never asked in the first place. But we have a strange shot, strange split in the halacha, says the Rambam, that if you want to know, is there boss of the chol in these kinds of food? You have beside the bale of the milk, is that called boss of the chol? The correct answer to that question is, depending concerning what? Which aspect, which dimension of boss of the chol are you asking? If you're asking concerning bishul, the answer is yes, there is bas b'chol. If you're asking concerning achila, then the answer is no, there is no bas b'chol. Now comes a multi-million-dollar question, the case that the Rambam left out. What about concerning hana'ah? What would the din be about being nana? So here the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, b'chol b'chol, is silent on the matter. The Rambam doesn't tell you what the din is. That's the only issue that interests us. We are not, none of us are flipping burgers, making cheeseburgers. None of us are eating cheeseburgers. But we want to be nana from the pet food. We're not making the pet food, but we want to be nana from the pet food. So what's the difference? So in Hilchot Brachos, the Surah Tanala is started about it. In Perish of Mishnayot, so the Rambam discussed it a little bit more in detail. In the seventh of the Rambam Talmud, so basically the Rambam, we take a look at the fourth line in the Rambam by this period. A tshuva of that, Shabbosu b'chol of Nesab ha'noh, v'pnei she'osu ha'kosav le'achila. Comes around and says, the Isra HaNoah does not exist in a vacuum. The Isra HaNoah is an extension of the Isra Achila. If and when we can paskin that this is also the Achila, then we're free to paskin that it's also by Noah. If and when we had it, for whatever reason, paskin, it's not also the Achila of the time of B'chalav. If the Isra of B'chalav didn't kick in for whatever technical reason, ain't this a Chalav Isra, then the Isra HaNoah will not take effect either. So this Rama will be very, very helpful for us in terms of all that Shiloh. The person wants to know, and they'd be nana from a cheeseburger. So the answer is yes. You know why? Because there's no Isra Achila Bas B'chol on the cheeseburger. I didn't say you can eat it. You can't eat it because it's Busan Avela. But there's no Isra Achila Bas B'chol for the Enes Achal Isra. Once you pass it up Enes Achal Isra, the parallel you're passing Enes Achal Isra is to pass it. There's no Isra Achila. And the main of the parallel is there's no Isra Noah either. Again, according to the Rambam, the pet food. You have the first paskin, is there an Isra Achila? And the answer is no. There's no Isra Achila's Bas B'chalav on pet food. You can't eat it anyway since it's the time of Eila, but there's no Isra Bas B'chalav because it ain't Isra Achila. Once there's no Isra Achila, so some of Eila, there's no Isra Achila as well. Not everyone agrees to this Rambam. Some Rishonim made this agree with the Rambam. In the post from Shulchan Aruch, they quote this as a Machlokes. The Machlokes is the Halacha.
what the din is in all of these cases. Because of this, we strongly recommend that people who have pets should really look into getting non-bus l'chol of pet food. So they, how do you get non-bus l'chol of pet food? So one suggestion is to get pet food that rather than using beef, use this chicken. What's the model of using chicken? We pass in Allah a chicken is on the midrabbanu. We assume whatever is bus l'chol of their right is prohibited by Hana also. Whatever is only bus l'chol of their rabbanu, like we pass later on against us, is mutter by Hana. That's one option. So in fact, there are certain hashkachas in the national hashkach organization that they used to, maybe they still do. They give a hashkacha on particular pets, particular dog food. We are not certifying that it's kosher. It says it quite clearly. We are not certifying that it's kosher. We are certifying that it's not bas l'chalav. Made with chicken and milk together, chicken and cheese together. Hopefully your dogs, all those dogs that are washing the cholesterol, they can have their chicken and cheese together rather than the beef and cheese together. That would only be at worst the bas l'chalav d'rabbanan. As the bas l'chalav d'rabbanan, it wouldn't be subject to an iser hanah. Those who want to be nekel and use tzad behemah, those who are not so careful, I've heard of it, they just go and buy regular, dog food off the shelf. And even though it's tzad behemah, so they're relying on shita d'rabbanan. Remember years ago, one of the malls in, around here, there used to be a pet store, I suppose, since then. When my kids were little, they would always like to walk around in the pet store. I would take them, we never had baksham, we never had any animals to buy. But they used to like to look around, see the dogs and the cat, everything in the cages. So I would sometimes spend a long time in the pet store. And what I would always do is I would always walk around to the different pet foods and try to remember which brands were chicken and which brands were meat. That way, when someone, every once in a while, I've gotten showers over the years about rabbi, which now you just go online to see everything. But in the old years, rabbi had to remember which pet foods were the kosher ones, which were the trefa ones. So they walked the trefa ones, which is the question ones, which were the raisa ones, which were the ones that are mostly being there from the hospital. That was one practical application of the Shaila. Then a second practical application of the Shaila was, this goes back quite some time, Rabbi Lulig was once discussing the Shaila with him. It happened to him that he was one of his, he used to have this thing in Riverdale called the baby of the year, first baby that's born after January 1st, after midnight January 1st. It's the baby of the year, first baby of the year, and you win a whole bunch of this. You get this, Rishigasim. But go figure, one of his kids was born in the beginning of January, and he entered in. Happily won. I will deny that he was the one who entered it. Someone else in the family entered it. But whatever, he won. His baby was a baby of the year. But I forget, it was some page in the local newspaper. Mazel tov, Rabbi's baby, a winner. One of the many gifts that they received was a dinner for two for a certain restaurant in Riverdale. It was called Donaghy Steakhouse. It was still around anymore. Donaghy Steakhouse, those are the miles of Donaghy Steakhouse place, Donaghy Steakhouse. Probably what the guy used to say is they made the best steaks all fried in butter. That was it. That's what he went to Donaghy's for, to get the steaks fried in butter. So Rabbi Lulig was not going to go to Donaghy's to get the steaks fried in butter, but he wanted to know, can he give it to his gringo, to give it to the non-Jewish lady, to give it to her as a gift. So normally if something is offered by Hanah, he is not allowed to give it to somebody as a gift, but by giving it to them as a gift, they're going to feel indebted to you. They'll do a better job cleaning your house. And that's considered to me as some other indirect deriving benefit from the double offer by law. But can I give a gift certificate for steak and butter all fried together? Can I give that as that considered to me being nether from Bas Mechalot? So once you perhaps argue based on the Shabbos, that's okay. Because the steak, Donaghy's, was not getting the right kosher steak. They were getting sign available steak. But one can argue with the sign available, just as the Rambam says, it's not offered the Achim Mitam Bas Mechalot. Maybe it's not also the Hanovi time of Boston Chol as well. So that's unclear. Not everybody accepts this Rambam. But the truth is that maybe other grounds can be a little bit more make of steaks and butter. We'll get to it a little bit later on. The different Shia, what's considered to be visual for the purpose of Boston Chol. But getting back to our story, the bottom line is this is still an ongoing question, how Boston Chol plays out in terms of how precisely you define Boston for the purpose of Boston Chol. So we have two issues. The issue of oath, which is in Matzmir, Machlekes Hatzaraim, and we pass in the Halacha that's on it to Rabbanon. And then the second issue of the star, not the Hema to name, but the star of the kosher species that's in Gitan Avela. So it is Bas Mecholos official. It's not for Achila, and I know it's somewhere up in the air, whether the Rambam's premise is accepted or not, that the Yisra Anah emanates from the Yisra Achila. So even though the Torah doesn't use the word Bas, the Torah says not to be the Chalavimah, the Tosh about them, the Yashmur teaches us it means Basar, and then you have to further break down to figure out what exactly Basar means. So next week, we'll try to tackle the second half of the Basar, what exactly the word Cholov means, And once you have both, you have both together, then we can begin to discuss some of the details of the halacha in terms of what's called.